This is Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health. I'm Bobby Temps.
I'm Danny Hogan.
Each Thursday, we delve into a factor or condition that influences the mind and how to better manage it. With special guests and stats you can trust, here we go. Welcome back to Mental and this very special episode to mark 200 episodes of the show in general. As promised, I'm here with a very, very special guest. It's the artist formerly known as Annie Harris, so someone's voice you'll know very well if you're a long-term listener of the show, but who has since come out as non-binary and along with that chosen a new name. So it's now Erin Emphis.
Hello, it's me, Erin Enfis. How are you, lovely one?
Good. We were saying it's very surreal to be back doing this, and somehow whenever we record, it's too warm.
Yes, why do we always choose the times that are like blisteringly hot to record something important? I used to come up to Birmingham once a month to work with Bobby, and it would always be, regardless of the season, blisteringly hot whenever we were trying to record. And we'd just all be kind of dying in your flat, like opening all the windows in between takes and things. So we're keeping with tradition today and probably one of the hottest days of the year so far, I would say.
Yes, I think yesterday was the hottest. So we're recording what's today, the 19th. So who knows, might set a new record. I don't know. Is it a coincidence? Is it just every time you come to the city, things just hot up?
I'm just hot, baby.
That's what it is. Creates her own climate.
I'm hot and sexy. Yeah, I don't feel it right now, considering how warm it is. I'm just lying flat on my back in bed with an ice pack on my chest, trying desperately to cool down. And my poor dog, bless him, he's a Romanian rescue, and he's got this like thick Eastern European sheepdog coat, and he's just absolutely miserable, the poor baby. But it also is his ultimate goal in life to be as close to me as possible. So he's sitting in front of the fan, but also with his back touching my leg, just so he knows that I'm there. He's trying to balance his need for the fan and his desire to be close to me at all times.
Sounds like a good strategy. Meanwhile, Milan has gone inside my wardrobe. So she's technically close to me, but she has a wall between her heat and my heat.
Are you saying that Milan has gone back into the closet?
Maybe.
Milan gay? Is that?
Maybe this is the breaking news. I mean, my previous flatmate, I think, very much wanted our cat to be gay. She was like, then I can relate to it better.
Gay cat.
But no, I think she's hiding. Maybe she's following the same theory as you of like, be in a dark place and maybe psychologically it will seem cooler.
Dark. It's dark and cool and quiet in this light. And also, we've got a north-facing bedroom, which is where I am right now. So it's definitely like the coldest part of the house. We were sitting on the porch this morning, which is arguably the coldest part of the house. So in the winter, obviously, it's miserable. But in the summer, it's great because it's just absolutely gorgeous down there. And I was sitting on the porch this morning just with like my laptop desk doing some emails and such. And Monty was sitting outside, my dog. And there was like fighting and like arguing. Sorry, he just laid down and like head butted the wall and like pretended that nothing happened. He like laid down and like hit his head on the wall and was just like, oh, what? Oh no, nothing. Anyway, yeah, so there was like fighting and stuff going on across the close from us. We could hear like neighbors having an argument. So I went inside and I called the police, and then the police came, they turned up, and then everything stopped and it was nice and peaceful. And I was like, ah, that's nice. And then just as I thought, oh, how nice and peaceful, someone started playing the trumpet like two doors down from where we were, and they were playing the Bride of the Valkyrie song. The da 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 da. Da, 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 da. I was like, my God, this is very dramatic and like very stressful. So yeah, once the neighbours had stopped screaming at the top of their lungs, then the trumpet started playing. And I texted one of my best friends and I was like, this is what's happened this morning. And he was like, well, maybe they were just arguing over whose turn it was next to use the trumpet. I was like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Your face.
I'm just like, sure, maybe that makes sense. I just know that none of them are things I would want to do in this heat.
Yeah,
you know, trumpet
it's too
player.
Hot.
Too hot for life. But what it's hopefully not too hot for is us talking about 200 episodes of Mental. What about that?
Oh my God, how is that a thing? It makes me feel 1,000 years old when you say that there's been 200 episodes of Mental. So it's like, what, one a week? Maybe like one, let's say one and a half a week. Can't do math. Four years? It hasn't been four years.
I've done the maths for you, don't worry.
Oh God.
So, Danielle took over from you around episode 65. So that was in June 2019, I think. And there's been 135 episodes since, which it does not feel possible. What?
No, that's... oh my God. It doesn't feel like yesterday that I stopped working on mental. I feel it's too hot to feel this old.
It's kind of exhausting just thinking about it, because I've been getting loads of really lovely messages and congratulations, and depending on how I'm feeling on a given day, some of my reactions are just like, yeah, it's exhausting, isn't it? I don't know how we did it either. Maybe it's a trick, maybe the numbers went wrong, but it's very exciting. And I had a look back at some of the things we've achieved, and obviously the one we're probably the most proud of to be joint involved with is all the mental health education campaigning.
Yeah, we smashed that. I remember getting, when we crossed over 100,000 signatures, I was sitting in a restaurant in Brighton called Planet India having a really nice vegetarian curry with my friends. And then I just got, my phone was on the table and I just saw you text me saying, look at the petition. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And like ran outside and just like screamed and jumped up and down. I can remember it so clearly. It was like the day, you know, like, where were you when, you know, Diana died? Where were you when Michael Jackson died? And where were you when Mental Petition hit 100,000 signatures? Just as iconic, in my opinion.
Sure, we'll take it. I didn't actually know that was your reaction, because I think we were just texting during that exchange. So that's, but that feels
fitting. Yeah, no. Yeah, I like ran outside and like jumped up and down and was just like, oh my God. And my friends were like, are you okay? And I was like, yes. I remember it so clearly.
These are happy tears. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah.
Talking of checking the petition, do you know that a little while ago we passed 200,000 signatures?
Yes, I saw when you emailed me to ask me to do this, it said on your signature, join 200,000 others. So I was like, shit, son, and like clicked on the link to have a look. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe it. It's absolutely nutso. But also like, I can believe it because it's the right thing and it needs to happen. So I'm not surprised. I'm just excited that I was part of it. And like, it just feels so good. I actually directed a friend's show recently for Brighton Fringe. And my friend is a performer, burlesque performer, and she works for the Department of Mental Health. And I was like, oh, cool. I used to work for a podcast. I had a campaign that was getting mental health education on the curricula for all UK schools. And she was like, yeah, like, I know about that. it was really crazy. I was like, yeah, that was like basically just me and Bobby. It was just like a two-handed team who just managed to change the curriculum. That's absolutely wild to me. That blows my mind.
I sometimes can't quite believe it when I tell people about it, and hopefully I'll have some more news for Scotland soon. There's some things happening behind the scenes, progress there.
What's happening in Wales?
It's on the curriculum.
Of course it is.
They're not taking it back now.
It's because we're legends, that's why.
Yeah. And you are our honorary Welsh person to help communications with that as well.
You can't submit a petition to the Welsh Parliament if you're not from Wales, or if you were born in Wales or currently live there, I think. So yeah, it was like, Erin, you need to be our contact for the Welsh petition. I was like, okay, no problem. Never done this before, but sure, let's just jump in with both feet.
Yeah. And obviously it worked. So on the curriculum for Wales and England as of September last year, which was also very strange as a moment to be in the middle of, I don't even know what stage of the pandemic we were at that point. I think things were a bit lifted, but we knew they weren't going to be lifted for much longer.
Yeah.
And so that kind of almost snuck up on us because we were so in the depth of dealing with pandemic stuff and all the coverage we were doing on the podcast. And then we were like, oh yeah, this has come around that we've been waiting for.
Yeah. All the days just tend to like blur into one at the moment. And I don't think that's a sentiment that's not shared by a huge amount of the population. I think everyone's feeling a little bit like, what the hell is life? And has been for a while. Before our chat, you were like, let's chat about what you've been up to. And I was like, not a lot, mate. Just living through a pandemic, innit? So I left mental in July 2019, right? So that's when I started just teaching a lot more then. So I started doing a lot more like private singing tuition and teaching drama and like audition skills and monologue skills and acting and all sorts, basically, to various people, ages, abilities. I'm like pretty good successes with that. I had some really nice residencies and things. And then I just found that, like, my disability was getting too overwhelming for teaching and being an artist as well, because I was also working on the podcast that I have with my partner called Contrived and Insufferable, which is an improv podcast. And I was like, if I'm teaching, then I don't have any energy to do anything else. So about a month ago, I made the decision. Well, about 6 months ago, I made the decision to quit teaching. And about a month ago, I actually did. And it's honestly one of the best things I've done, I think, for my health. And I've started running accessibility workshops for, like, creative organizations and doing Twitch streaming and going back to gigging now that people can sit in theaters and stuff. But as a sort of, like, you know, a normal, inverted commas, normal job goes, I haven't had one for about a month. And it's amazing. Being a full-time artist is great. And also, I've been a full-time artist now for like a month and I haven't died yet, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. I was like always convinced that I would just, it's like, no, it can't be a full-time artist. We'll shrivel up and die of, you know, some sort of like Victorian disease. But I haven't managed it yet, which is really amazing. And I'm double vaccinated. It's great.
Ooh, I'm jealous. Yeah, I've only had one. And we are also, maybe we should acknowledge, recording this on so-called Freedom Day. And we were talking about it not feeling quite like freedom.
Well, it's not freedom for disabled people, because everyone's going to go out now, stop social distancing, stop wearing masks, stop washing their hands. And that means that disabled people are going to have to shield again. Mm. That's nuts. And also, it's boiling. So I'm staying outside, inside even.
And also, I think the messaging has been so strange. Like, even just the, you know, we're never going back to lockdown kind of rhetoric. I'm not saying I want to go back to lockdown, but I feel like that kind of messaging, people are like, okay, it really is a free-for-all. We can do whatever. Maybe if there was even a little bit of threat of it, people might be careful.
No, I mean, who's to say? But I will be continuing to not, you know, sort of go out as frivolously as perhaps other people may be. Definitely continue keeping my hands clean, obviously, as I always have done for the last 30 years. And also, social distancing is fine. I'm very happy to stay away from crowds and busy areas. I'm finding myself becoming more introverted as I'm getting older. And I really enjoy my own company and I enjoy being in my own home with my family much more than I did, say, in my mid-20s. So I'm quite happy to keep my distance. And I mean, yeah, sure, I'll be spending time with friends and things, but all of my friends are very responsible people doing regular lateral flow tests. And I wouldn't be friends with them if they weren't sensible, responsible people. So I don't feel too worried about, you know, me and my community, if you like, but I do worry about more vulnerable people on a wider scale, which I suppose is the difference between me and, you know, there's two types of people, I think, with regards to that. It's people who do care about others and people who don't. Like, I don't know if there's ever a grey area on that. And, you know, perhaps we could talk about that for a really long time, but ultimately that's just the way it is. And there's not really a huge amount I can do to change that besides going on Twitter and just screaming into the void. Although I have had to stop going into Twitter quite a lot recently, because every time I just go on it, I'm just immeasurably depressed by something. You know, like, what I have done recently is that I've changed the language of my Explore page so that it's in Japanese. So I can't read Japanese, just for just for a bit of backstory, if anyone doesn't know that I can't read Japanese. So I now can't understand my Explore page, which is great, because I used to go onto my Explore page and it'd be like, this person's been transphobic, or this person's been racially abused and everyone's laughing at them on Twitter, or this, you know, so on and so forth. And now it's just like lots of pretty symbols and pictures of like mountains and stuff, because it's a Japanese world, Japanese news. And I'm like, this is lovely. That's all I wanted to see.
That's
and
a good
honestly,
tip. Yeah.
Improve my mental health immeasurably. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you've spent some time in Japan, haven't you? Like, do you speak any Japanese?
Konnichiwa, maybe please, or it might be thank you. That's the extent.
Konnichiwa is hello. Arigato is thank you. I don't know what please is.
There we go. So you know more than I do.
Yeah, but they also write in, they don't write in a European Latin Roman alphabet. So yeah, I can't understand a word of it. It's a good idea. I have a completely empty brain now. It's wonderful.
Wow, can't relate to that. What I will say about the whole Freedom Day thing is I will be sticking to my mask behaviour as was. And I was thinking about it this morning, actually, of what will I say? You know, if anyone was to challenge me about it and, you know, just even in a friendly way, be like, oh, you know, you don't have to wear that anymore. I think my honest answer would be, well, I actually feel less safe than I did yesterday. because now more people can do more things. Yeah. And I think a lot of people will take that as a license to do anything that they couldn't do before, even things that weren't safe at any point. And yeah, I think we've all had certain wake-up calls, like you saying about washing hands, of, oh, some of us weren't washing hands before. Interesting.
Yeah, right. It's like, I feel for me, like masks or vaccinations or social distancing are kind of like car insurance, but you don't want to be in an accident. And that is what a mask or social distancing is for me, is like, I don't necessarily want to wear it or like feel like, you know, it's great for everyone, because a lot of people are exempt from wearing masks for very good reasons. Like, I could talk about masks forever, but I'm sure people listening to this podcast have had more than enough of the mask on or mask off debate. So I won't bore them for too long. It seems sensible. You know, I don't trust the Conservative government as far as I can throw them. Why is it that whenever I come on this podcast, I end up ranting about politics?
Well, I don't know, but we will try circling back and talk a little bit about what we've seen change. Because even though you've been away from this show, I think both of us have seen a lot change in terms of mental health conversations. Obviously, we've talked about like level of education going up. But for Danielle and I, we were certainly pleasantly surprised by the inclusion of mental health concerns so early on in the pandemic. We were very much expecting a lot of more of that to be overlooked. So it does feel like even in the few years we've had this show, there is genuine progress we're seeing and stats that reflect that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that in the slightest, actually. I do think that it is, again, this is a very personal experience from just one person, but I find it a lot easier to talk about my mental health these days. And I don't know if that's to do with my work for the podcast, being involved with it, or whether that's just because there's more increased awareness and sort of acceptance. I think there's a big difference as well between awareness and acceptance, right? Mm-hmm. I do a lot of accessibility work these days, and the general feeling that I get from the focus groups and the research that I run is that people, so I run accessibility groups for people who are disabled or neurodivergent and want to be involved in creativity or performing arts in some way. The focus groups that I run with the people from those communities, there's a huge thing of like, awareness isn't enough anymore. Like, acceptance and integration is the thing that we're now looking for. So I'm not saying that things are perfect. I'm not saying that we haven't got a ways to go. I think we've come a really, really long way, and we've still got a really long way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But I'm glad that we get to be part of having the conversations, increasing like the language and understanding that people have. You know, it's nice that we've been able to continue finding like more and more topics to cover and being so involved in covering the pandemic, that as difficult as it was, that behind the scenes we were really scrambling around last March being like, what the fuck do we do to cover this? How do we talk about it whilst not overwhelming people with it, whilst providing some hope about something that is still relatively unknown? Yeah. That was a bit of a nightmare, but looking back on it, I'm so glad we got to do that. And so
that must have been rough. That sounds like a lot, because also you have you can't underestimate the stress on yourself as well. Like, being a small business owner or a medium-sized business owner during the pandemic, or being self-employed in any way during the pandemic, was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And there were so many people that completely fell through the net as well. There were so many people that were like, they're self-employed, but they haven't earned enough money to be eligible for the self-employment support scheme. And I was one of those people, and it was nuts. And then I basically highlighted that on the phone to the HMRC and the DWP, and they were like, yeah, that's a huge loophole that is just not being closed at all. It was rough for everyone, but hopefully there's some light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. Now there's Freedom Day.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Was that good?
I think we'll leave in the bit about you saying, was that okay? And then laughing, because honestly, that is a reflection of what a strange time it's been. There can't be any positive or any negative almost without so many caveats of this difficult time. So I'm just glad that we're in the position where we get to have these conversations still. And, you know, this show has meant that our work continues and our guests still get a voice in a time when, you know, so many of them that speak publicly aren't able to do that in loads of other forums. And it's quite incredible to be able to document this time. I don't know if I'll be able to listen back to the episodes, because some of them were in such challenging periods I don't necessarily want to relive. But I am glad that we've done it I'm glad that we were recognised for our work. You know, we were COVID-19 essential listening, according to Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
And even just stuff like that, you know, these small wins in a difficult time is surely a sign of the progress, that our work around mental health conversations was seen as essential alongside the concerns around physical health and the measures in place for that. So I think that's the positive I want to wrap up on.
I think as well that when you're generally a compassionate and socially progressive person, you have to take the small wins, you know, where you get them, because otherwise it'd just be a very depressing old slog if we didn't take time to appreciate the small wins. Am I right?
Yes. Absolutely. So we will wrap up there. Thank you so much for returning, and hopefully we'll get a chance to record more stuff soon.
Yay, please. I'd love that.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. For a list of our recommended resources, visit mentalpodcast.co.uk. And remember, we are in no way a substitute for qualified counselling or other mental health support. Our show is edited and produced by the brilliant Pete Murta, with licensed music by NetSky. Links in the description. Speak to you next Thursday, and remember, you are enough.